It's your Daily Dose of Donna. Welcome to the 300th show of Daily Dose of Donna. I cannot believe that we have actually made it to this incredible, groundbreaking milestone in DDOD. We have a big show for you guys today. Behind the scenes drama between Real Housewives of New Jersey castmates and the bloggers that follow them. We have some crazy words being spoken by some of the cast members on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Tom Sandoval comes back at Rachel Levis's lawsuit, plus more, all on today's Daily Dose of Donna. I'm so happy to have you all here today. Thank you for supporting the show. Thank you for being here. I missed you guys yesterday. A lot of you guys emailed or sent messages on DMs, etc., saying, "Where are you, my love bean?" And the truth is, your love bean's right here. Okay? The OG love bean. Donna, we're here. I wasn't here yesterday because of Passover. Happy Passover. Chag Sameach, as we say. I celebrated Passover here in my house. We held a Seder for 10 people. So the way that works is, I don't know if you know anything about Passover. It is quite a like a production. You have to read the Haggadah. You read the story of Passover. It's a beautiful story. It's very applicable in days like today. And it's a great tradition. It's a great tradition. We had so much fun and we ate a lot of food and we cooked and we celebrated. My mom got back from Israel. You guys, a lot of you noticed that in the pictures on Instagram. So we were all together. It was wonderful. We celebrated my sister's birthday. So I took the day off yesterday and it was so weird. I have to tell you, I really felt weird about it. I felt like I was playing hooky. But not like because I wanted to. Remember, I had to go get a nerve test on my carpal tunnel. That's a whole other story. But it was a really nice day, and I'm glad to be back with you guys today. But I did feel very out of it yesterday. Like, I couldn't wrap my head around Bravo news. I didn't know what was happening. I forgot who Jax Taylor was. Just kidding. Who could forget Jax? We have a fun show. There's some crazy stuff happening in the Bravo sphere right now. I mean, when is there not? But really, I was actually really blown away by a story that my doser, you guys know him, Andrew, he sent me. He's always sliding into my DMs, that Andrew. He's sliding right in. And he sent me some stories yesterday that I found really interesting. And this is one that is not easy to decipher. So I'm going to get into that in just a moment. Before I get into that, I want to talk about very quickly about OneSkin because Mother's Day is coming up. Happy Mother's Day to all of you with mothers, without mothers. I'm thinking of you if you're struggling in these days because I know Mother's Day, Father's Day, any of these holidays can sometimes be a little upsetting, triggering, but one thing we all can do is celebrate our skin if you are a mother or not. But I do want to take a quick moment to appreciate not only the moms, but anyone who's taken on a role of caregiver. You do everything for everyone else. And now it's time to do something for you, starting with your skin. So today's sponsor, OneSkin, has a simple, scientifically validated routine that keeps your skin looking and feeling good. And here's the best part. It also targets the root cause of aging. So the secret in OneSkin's proprietary OS01 peptide. It's the first ingredient to proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. And they've got several studies to back it up. So as you guys know, I've been using their products for a while. I use their moisturizer and their eye cream on a daily basis. I mix their moisturizer before I get ready for the show. I always mix their moisturizer with a tinted sunscreen. And I love the way that it makes my skin feel nice and hydrated. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands Yeah, of 2024. So go to oneskin.co and use the code DAILYDOSE, oneskin.co. Use the code DAILYDOSE and get 15% off of your own OneSkin regimen. All right, you guys, this one's a doozy. Are you Real Housewives and New Jersey fans? If you are, you're going to be interested in this story. Andrew, you're in the chat right now. I wish you could come on live and try to explain this one for me, because this is going to be real confusing. This is going to be confusing to explain. And trust me, in between, you know, brisket seasoning, I struggled to like follow the story, but I think I got a kind of an idea of what it is. Essentially, there is, and I'll just tell you honestly, like I watched the first 5 seasons or so of Jersey addictively, like nonstop. And then I fell off for a couple seasons and I'm back in. But I did fall off like in the first, you know, when Marge joined, like those couple seasons I fell off. So I didn't watch a lot of the Siggy Flicker season or any of that. But now that I'm back in, I'm pretty aware of like, you know, there's definitely teams on New Jersey, right? We have Team Teresa, who is, and Andrew or anyone that's watching, share with me if I'm getting any of this wrong. Obviously, we know Teresa and Melissa are completely on opposite sides, but it looks to me like the dynamics have shifted about who's friends with who based on social media. Because I know that Jen Aiden has always been like thick as thieves with Teresa, right? We know that. But now we're noticing that like Jackie Goldschneider, who wasn't really friends with them, is now kind of close with them. And so is Jen Bressler. So I think we have Jen Aiden, Jen Bressler, Jackie, and Teresa as like a foursome in my eyes. And Dolores is kind of a floater. And then the other side, we have Melissa. We have Marge, and we have probably Fuda, right? And maybe Danielle, is that her name? Okay. But those aren't really part of this story. The point of this story is the fact that there's definitely been different camps of Jersey. And there's always been this on all the Real Housewives shows. Like, if you think about all of them, there's always been like teams kind of, but none more so than Jersey. I've always felt like it's very, very strongly like Team A or Team B. Now, there are some fan accounts, allegedly, who are very, very biased. If you guys can think of any that you follow that you know will immediately stand and support a certain character no matter what happens, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, of course, you're going to have people like, you know, two T's in a pod. They'll always support Kyle because of Teddy Mellencamp being her good friend. But this is even weirder because it's not actual friends of theirs. It's bloggers. It's fan accounts. It's Instagram accounts. It's whatever. Okay. So let's start there. So there is an account called All About TRH. I could be wrong about this. Let me get it right before I forget it. Now, it may be on they're on Instagram, and they also have a blog. It's called All About the Real Housewives, and the main author of it is Roxanne. And I believe there was someone else, but I'm pretty sure maybe it's just Roxanne now. It says About Us, Meet the Team. I'm on their blog. So they started in 2011. Okay. And they talk very strongly about, yeah, there's like a writer contributor, but it really is Roxanne. She's the founder. She started this blog in November 2011 and so on and so forth. Okay. Oh, her cousin Chantel and her do the podcast together, but she runs the blog. All right. Meanwhile, there's also a Twitter account that I don't follow, but the name cracks me up, and it's called Melissa's Old Nose. And that is a dig on Melissa Gorga. And the person's name that runs that is Gabriella. Okay, so just kind of keep these in the back of your mind. We've got 2 fan accounts, one on Twitter and one on Instagram, and a blogger and a podcaster who are in question here. There is a TikToker, Instagrammer named, I hope I get this all right. Chrissy Balls. I'm not joking. Okay. Chrissy Balls. And she has posted as of yesterday that she has receipts and emails and confirmation that it's been now revealed that for the last 12 years. So for the last, so since 2012, Teresa has been paying those accounts to write positively about her. So for 12 years, okay? Let's wrap our heads around this. 12 years. Now, I remember reading something or seeing something around BravoCon of last year that all about RH account is very, very pro Teresa. But this is like takes it to a new level. So not only has Teresa supposedly been paying them, apparently Jen Aiden also has been in on this. And then what really will get them in trouble, if they get in trouble, is that there's documented emails where Jen specifically has been forwarding screeners to those women who run those accounts prior to the airing of the show, but they're not. And a lot of people get screeners, like a lot of big podcasters get screeners, but this is from a insider. Like when you send a screener, you're the only person that can send a screener should be Bravo, Hulu, like the big, the companies that are creating the shows, not the cast members sending it to bloggers. It's clearly trying to get, you know, a campaign out there to be on your side. Is this a big enough deal? Do you think Bravo will be upset by it? I find it disgusting, to be honest, because I feel like when you're reading, so many people get swayed by what people talk about and what people write about. And I think that if you are a fan account and you have your own personal opinions and you're obsessed with Teresa, then like by all means. But if you're being paid essentially as like a PR person, but you're not disclosing that you're PR, it's like saying that you have an ad on your podcast, but not saying it's an ad and just like product placement. It feels pretty shitty. There is a TikTok account, this Chrissy Balls TikTok account. I can't take it seriously when it's called Chrissy Balls. Sorry, Chrissy. But that's her account. And I'm going to show you really fast. I'll show you one of her videos that she posted, and maybe it will clear something up for you. And we'll have to kind of figure out if this is really true or not. So hold on. Let me grab it. All right. Give me a second. It's going to be a little bit confusing to understand. We're going to work on this together, okay? We are smart individuals and we can do hard things, okay? I believe in you, dosers. I believe in me. I hope. We'll see. Hold on.
Prepare to be sick of me because this is getting way too good. If you've been following the tree stump drama and you know anything about what's been going on, you'll know and recognize Melissa's old nose. I'll throw another name out there, Roxanne, who runs All About RH. She had used Gabriella. Gabriella had been her proxy, basically. Most everything you've seen out there about other cast members, myself, other creators, etc., came from Roxanne to Melissa's old nose. The top of the chain, though, is Jim Leonard. Now it looks like Gabriella is done, kaput, and I am here for it. It looks like she's trying to dismantle the whole operation. Here's an email to coincide with the tweet from the one and only Jen Aiden sending the screeners to random creators to help them along, help their side out, so that these creators could get a jump on the episode before anyone else saw it and get the tea on what was going down. You're not supposed to do this. It says so right here. I'll read it. The contents of this email and any attachments are confidential, may be privileged, may be subject to copyright, and are intended solely for the use of the individual to whom they are addressed. It clearly states if you're not the intended recipient to delete the email. It also gives notice that disclosing the information attached to the email is strictly prohibited. Teresa's done.
Okay. I don't think Teresa's done, but if you're confused by this, basically, one of the women who are in this camp of these Jen and Teresa had been sending out content and paying, allegedly, a few different content creators, one being Roxanne from All About Real Housewives, one being this Gabriella from Melissa's old from Melissa's old nose. Okay, that on its own is a little bit, you know, it's effed. But then the Teresa's attorney had just sent out DMs. I don't know how Chrissy Balls has access to it, but had sent DMs to all of these women saying, like, we have to all stick together, tree stumps. Like, the attorneys are in on this. So James Leonard is one of the attorneys. This is like alongside Louis stuff, and sends out a DM to all of those girls that are getting the content saying, we want peace between all of the tree huggers. No more fighting. No more divide. Anybody doing it after tomorrow, send me their account. Saying basically, these people that we know have Teresa's back, like, we can't have infighting between them. He says, the attorney writes in an email, in a DM, the truth is it all got out of hand and needs to end. I've talked to Roxanne, Melissa, and Teresa, as well as others. Everyone is on the same page with ending it. But this woman, the Melissa's old nose Instagram or Twitter account, she's had enough. And she's the one that's basically outing this operation. So it's pretty shitty, you guys. It's pretty shitty when you're, you know, basically the if you guys didn't see on this post that I just showed you, this woman, Gabriella, tweets, I've been quiet for a reason. A lot has been revealed. I've learned that everything we've been led to believe was an absolute lie. From season 13 to now, I'm truly disgusted by Jennifer Aiden and her camp's actions. I'm owed lots of apologies. Things were not what they were made out to be. Yes, I received the Real Housewives of New Jersey screeners prior to them airing. Others did as well. So their narrative was on the ready to be pushed at a moment's notice. Things aren't what they seem. So, okay. Why am I not surprised? Like, it's shitty and it's crazy and it's shady, but it is pretty surprising coming from those women who I feel like will stop at anything. A lot of them, I'm not blaming just Teresa and Jen. I think a lot of them, a lot of housewives type personalities would do this, like not stop at anything to, you know, get their side of the story out there. But to pay someone for 12 years. So now know that every time you're on All About Real Housewives Instagram page, according to this, and they're talking about Real Housewives in New Jersey, it's always going to be super biased towards Teresa and her camp, which is essentially what we don't want when it comes to fandom and, you know, podcasts and Instagram accounts. Like, I don't think you guys would be happy if you found out this entire time I was getting paid by, who the hell would I get paid by? I don't know. You guys would probably think I got paid by Jeff Lewis sometimes, but like, you know, by James Kennedy. And so because of that, I would never, ever say anything bad about James. So you're not really watching like a true, you know, perspective. You're watching a biased perspective. You're watching a spokesperson for that person, and it's shitty, right? Oh, yes, I have not been paid by Craig. I do that all pro bono. So AI Gary, Tori Spelling's old breasts. I have been paid by Tori Spelling's public storage, okay? Tori Spelling's storage units. That's what I'm going to be for Halloween. Just big boxes filled with stuff. Oh God, I listened to two Tori Spelling podcasts over the weekend, y'all. Two. She was with Shannon Doherty. You know, Shannon Doherty has gone through some crazy ups and downs, but it was pretty interesting to hear her talk to Shannon Doherty and just be like, Shannon, you're so amazing and you've gone through so much. And how do I get there? Like, it's the whole stories are, all of them are just nutty. Okay, let's move on to Salt Lake City. I'm sure you guys have heard stories. It's been all over the news in this space that allegedly, I have to say allegedly, Mary Cosby called Lisa Barlow's 12-year-old son the R word during filming. Okay. Now, Okay. Again, why am I not surprised? I should be. But are you guys surprised when you know it comes from Mary Cosby? Like, there is no one less surprising. But is it wrong? Yeah, it's pretty wrong, right? It's pretty wrong. But are you surprised? Mary Cosby, of all people? I'm not surprised. Now, the fact that she's – okay, this is the story just so I can kind of share it with you guys before we get into discussion. By Evan Real, he's from Page Six. Mary Cosby allegedly calls Lisa Barlow's son, who's 12, the R word amid Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. This was in a heated argument during production. It was between – now, I want to be clear. I don't believe the 12-year-old was in the room and, like, heard it, or it was – I don't think it was directed towards him. But it says Mary Cosby allegedly called Lisa Barlow's 12-year-old son – his name is Henry. If you guys remember, she has two sons. She has Fudge College and she has Baby Gorgeous. Henry, the R word in a heated argument. One insider claims that the offensive remark was made during a crazy fight that took place between the women earlier this month, noting that Barlow's castmates, including returning stars Heather Gay, Whitney Rose, Meredith Marks, and Angie Katsanevas, were perturbed by Cosby's part in the exchange. The entire cast was grossed out by her use of the slur. Lisa Barlow was very upset for the alleged affront on her son. However, a third source tells Page Six that Lisa and Cosby have since put the dispute behind them, pointing out that both ladies are currently filming for a cast trip in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. Wah, wah. Okay. Apparently they made amends over the situation and everything's fine. So what the hell is the point of the article is my question. Like, it's awful that she did it, but how did this come to light weeks after that they got along, now that they're getting along? I don't understand it either. I'm curious. Now, the comments, this I'm looking at Face Reality 16's Instagram account, my friend Eliza. Comments, some of them are, I don't get how Lisa can forgive her. Someone says, I want to know what Lisa said to her. Someone says also, when did that word become so offensive? Because kids called each other that in the early 80s and 90s and nobody got so distraught. That's actually true. That was, I remember growing up and that was being, that word was used heavily and consistently when we were kids, right? But that's the way the world works. A lot of words we use as a kid are not okay anymore. So you have to go with the times is the truth. And it's, you know, not okay. Now, someone says the R word can mean a few things. Can you be more specific? I mean, do you guys know what I'm talking about when I say the R word? I'm not talking about Roblox. I mean, oh, someone thought it was interesting. Someone thought it was racist. The word was racist. That would be interesting. I don't think that they would have to say the R word for that. They're basically meaning the R word that, that, you know, refers to being developmentally a little slower, not racist. Roblox. It's, you know, Mary is held to a different degree than any of those other cast members. Look, I don't know what's wrong with me. I think I'm sick in the head, but I actually enjoy, and like, someone's going to be like, yes, you are, Donna, you are. But I actually have enjoyed Mary on the show, even when she's being offensive. Maybe not in this case, because now you're going after a kid, like, F you. That's awful. And I will never understand that at all. So, yeah, she's like, I've turned on her if that's actually what she's done. But in the past, like, can you at least admit that she has been part of some of the funniest moments on Real Housewives history? Right? We can actually admit that. Like when she was sitting in the car eating McDonald's, or when she like makes the faces that she makes, or when she called for the $5,000 champagne bottle or whatever. There is a side of her that is so wild and so not based in reality that you can only look at her and like not take it so seriously. But this is pretty low. Like, how low can you go? I wonder who actually leaked this story, especially since it happened months ago and they're totally fine now. I'm wondering if it was like a production executive trying to get her fired. Maybe it was one of the other cast members who was, you know, not happy with her for whatever reason, wants her fired too. But clearly this is a story like this gets leaked because it is out to, you know, take someone off a show. I mean, there's no way that would be any other reason. I don't know if they're going to air it. And I really hope they don't air it. But think about this poor 12-year-old, by the way, Henry, who's 100% on social media or at least able to Google at this point. Now he has to see this, like releasing the news about it, releasing the press about it, just damages the 12-year-old. I mean, it also damages Mary. But it's real not okay to ever talk badly about the kids. Right? Like even on Sister Wives, we had to be a little careful. You have to, like, you just, there's lines that you don't want to ever cross, right? I'm not okay with it. Mary, why'd you do it? Why'd you do that, Mary? Not cool. So what do you think is going to happen to Mary? I mean, I think we'll have to see how the season goes. If Mary doesn't get, if Mary actually is part of the season, like she was not last season, remember, she did not want to do anything. She didn't want to be part of anything. She like wasn't even invited to half of the events, which is why it's shocking she's back for this season. But if we get another season of her pulling out from every single activity and not doing anything, then why is she there? So I actually am kind of surprised why she is still there. Now, someone said, Mom Unscripted says you can't be an Erica fan because of the same thing. You have to be consistent. Erica Girardi, remember how she said, or Erica Jane, whatever she goes by these days, remember how she went after Garcelle's son on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I'm not an Erica fan. I'm really not. Like, I have no, you know, I think it's disgusting. Anytime they go after the kids, that was a gross moment. I hated every second of it. And I also will never forget Kyle and Mauricio and Dorit and PK laughing their asses off about it. Don't forget that, right? Okay. So when are these women, when are these people going to know kids are off limits? We're not talking about the kids. We're not talking about the kids. Okay, let's move on. I feel like it's like depressing to talk about this stuff, right? Let's move on to such a happy topic. And that's Tom Sandoval. I need sound effects. If I had sound effects right now, there would be like a big fart sound effect, right? Like Tom Sandoval's legal counsel has responded to Rachel Levis's lawsuit. Now, if you guys remember, Rachel Levis had talked about, had sued Ariana and Tom Sandoval separately for revenge porn, basically, for filming without her consent, because remember, he screen recorded a FaceTime of her pleasuring herself, allegedly, and Ariana for distributing because allegedly she had texted around and sent people. Okay. Now, this is a little confusing because they responded to the argument and a lot of people thought he had the same attorney. So just so you guys know, Rachel Levis's attorney is Brian Friedman and Mark Garagos. Okay. Mark Garagos is like, they're the big attorneys, right? They do all the big ones, the Bethanys, the McSweeneys, all of that. Tom Sandoval's attorney is, I think it's Michael Garagos. No idea if they're related, no idea if they're cousins, brothers. I have no idea, but that it's a little confusing. Okay. So just so you know that, because I saw a lot of comments saying like, oh my God, he used Scott Peterson's attorney. No, that's Mark Garagos. Like, come on. So just so I can like kind of try to break this down for you. He's basically arguing in this, he's arguing that all the claims that Rachel had fought for are not valid because Rachel's, this was not an affair, a hidden affair. Essentially, it says that in Rachel's filing, there was a lot of misinformation and it like, because of all the misinformation and the words that kind of went against each other, it muddled the water. And so there was a lot of contradictions. So his attorneys are now coming back and saying, it is not, you know, this is not a clear cut case. basically saying a lot of the things she's saying is not true. So he has to, he's contesting it. He's not saying necessarily that he didn't do what he did, but he's saying that the affair was open and public and people knew about it. So she did not have the reasonable expectation to privacy. I don't know. I'm not an attorney and I'm not like a legal, you know, expert in any way, but I imagine an attorney would write something like this. If there was actual a case where if an affair is open and public, quote unquote, then you can't be filmed out of consent. I don't know. If Lance filmed me without me knowing, like during our sexy time, I feel like I would be upset. Like I feel like I would have a case against him. So this is a little confusing. He's saying that she shouldn't expect any privacy because they knew about the affair. Other people knew about the affair. I think this is his way of trying to kind of hopefully maybe shut her up or get her to withdraw her case or something. It's an interesting argument. He's basically trying to use her own words against her. So turning her own words back against her. I don't know. I think that this one comment says this. I kind of agree with his argument. Her lawsuit is civil. She is seeking damages that she believes were caused by the video. He is countering that her reputation was damaged by the affair, not the video. Let's say Ariana found a text instead of the video. The outcome to her reputation would be no different. Listen, that's true. That's true. You guys, thank you so much. I see in the comments all of you saying congratulations on 300 shows. It's so kind. Thank you. That's really actually true. And I've talked about this before. The fact that he filmed her pleasuring herself during FaceTime, if anything, just makes him look awful. But it doesn't change your opinion on Rachel, does it? Does it make you not like her more? Does it make you think she's worse? Does it make you question her actions or her intentions more? No, I think we would have had the same reaction to Rachel and the whole situation with or without knowing of that video. We never saw the video, so the video didn't change our personal opinion. If anything, it just made him look like a douchebag, right? So in that case, like if you can say, if she is suing, saying the filming of this video led to my demise in the, you know, public landscape or whatever, I'm just making up words, then he does have a case saying, actually, it's not the video. It was the actions. It was what was done. It was the affair. So listen, attorneys are smart and they have ways to kind of fight their things and work these things out. So I have no idea. We'll have to see where it goes from here. But in my opinion, my personal opinion is that I don't actually see anything like too damaging there. I really don't. We'll have to see who ends up, like what ends up going on next. Now, a lot of you guys are telling me in DMs on my Facebook page that you're obsessed with Rachel Goes Rogue, the podcast. Are you guys? Are we okay? No, I don't listen to it. I read Vanderpod recaps and I like watch the clips or listen to the clips on TikTok. If it's a great podcast, like good for her, honestly, good for her. But I don't personally find myself drawn to listen because I also think she has a little bit of a distorted viewpoint of what happened. It's, I guess, interesting to hear her side, but it does feel a little bit, I mean, it's one-sided. You're getting her side of it. Now, Andrew says exactly what I believe is like, I have Tori. I can't do Raquel. It's like, how many podcasts of unhinged women can we listen to at once? We have Bethany and her divorce podcast. We have Tori Spelling and her, you know, I'm broke, I need money podcast. We can't also do Raquel. It's too much. We have to remain sane in some capacity, you guys. It's just too much. So I'm not really, I don't think I'll continue to listen to it. Now, you guys, this is a little bit of a deep dive conversation, but I think it's worth talking about. very briefly, Scientology. Scientology has been a big conversation over on this podcast for a few months now, with the Danny Masterson trial. And then, of course, last week we talked about Rebecca Minkoff. Rebecca Minkoff has been added to, we don't know under what capacity, to Roni, the new Roni. We know that they were filming together because I believe Scout, what's her name? It's Scout in the City, but I forget her name. Is it actually Scout? Like, what's her name? Sai. Sai is one of the castmates on Roni. I believe she filmed a few things and tagged Rebecca. So all the girls were together. So I'm saying, you know, Jessel was there, Bryn. It was on some sort of a cast trip or something along those lines. Okay. Rebecca is a known Scientologist. What's crazy about Rebecca's story is that Rebecca's dad, David, I believe Minkoff, was like the doctor of Scientology. And so a few years ago, 20 or so years ago, this woman, Lisa McPherson, got into a minor car accident, went to Scientology and said, I need to go to the hospital. They kept saying, you do not need to go to the hospital. You stay here. David Minkoff, the doctor, had kept telling her, no, we have you under control. She passed away from damages. Okay. So he is responsible for, or partially responsible for her death as her doctor. And he didn't, you know, send her over to the hospital. So it is a disgusting cult. We know this about Scientology. So not only did we talk about Rebecca Minkoff and the fact that she's now ingrained in Roni, which is just bananas to me. And she has not denounced herself from Scientology. She's still very much in Scientology from what we know. One of the, I'm pretty sure, before I do this wrong, I just want to confirm. I wish I had my Lauren here. Lauren is my Scientology expert. She sometimes hangs out in the chat, but I don't think she's here right now. But she is, I want to say she was one of the girls. Okay. Chrissy Bixler. Her name is Chrissy Bixler, and she's an actress, former Scientologist. And she was one of Danny Masterson's ex-girlfriends. She was one of the accusers who called Danny Masterson out and you know, accused him of rape and all of the things. So she was one of the John Does or whatever, Jane Does that they had in that trial, but she ended up coming out and being clear about who she was. So now that you know Chrissy Bixler, okay. Chrissy Bixler calls Danny Masterson the donkey punch bunch. I want to know why. Hold on. I want to know why. Give me a second. Donkey punch. There's a story around it. Danny Masterson. Let's do some research here. Oh, okay. There's an old interview of Danny Masterson where he jokes about sexual, can I say, SA, and talks about his DJ name, DJ Donkey Punch. Okay, so he called himself Donkey Punch, which is a slang term for a violent sex act. Got it. So she posted something on her like this video saying, wanna know members of the Donkey Punch group. And she posted, and it's on her Instagram, so go and check it out. It's at Chrissy Bixler, ChrissieBixler. And essentially, she posted a video of all of these people that are somehow ingrained in the Scientology world. Actors that you know, people in the entertainment industry, Ashton Kutcher, of course, Mila Kunis, Laura Prepon, all of those 70s shows kids. And so many others. This is quite interesting. So I was like deep down in that rabbit hole. She also really called out this one woman. Her name is Ilaria, not to be confused with Ilaria Baldwin, Ilaria. And Ilaria is a stylist to the stars. Well, guess what, you guys? I realized I went to high school with her. So she's ingrained in the Scientology. They call like some of these women the Ghislaine. Do you say Ghislaine or Ghislaine Maxwell of the Scientology world and the Danny Mastersons of it all? I can't get enough. we're just hitting the tip of the iceberg. I will continue to be reading up on this. But in other Scientology news, guess who showed up at Victoria Beckham's 50th birthday and took a picture with David Beckham? None other than Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise, Victoria Beckham, and David Beckham. Now, why do I find this so crazy? Because let me show you the picture. This is on New York Post. It says, oh my gosh, get out of here, ads. It says, Tom Cruise dumbfounded guests at Victoria Beckham's 50th birthday bash with breakdancing and splits. Yep, I said that. Breakdancing, okay? Because, of course, if Tom Cruise is going anywhere, he's going to be breakdancing his way there. But it says that he breakdanced and did the splits 61 years old in London. So apparently he's been friends with Beckham and her husband, David Beckham, for two decades. And apparently he tried to get David Beckham into Scientology. He tried to recruit David and Victoria into Scientology, but they didn't accept. This is also Gordon Ramsay was there. All the Spice Girls were there, by the way. This is most of the family. We have Romeo, Cruz, Harper, and Brooklyn. I don't think Brooklyn's wife was there. That's kind of interesting. Lots of celebrities, Eva Longoria, etc. But here's Tom Cruise and Victoria and David. And then here is the Spice Girls. And David Beckham actually released the cutest video of him singing with the Spice Girls singing their song. The cutest thing. Oh, it's pronounced Ghislaine. Thank you so much. Ghislaine Maxwell. So what I find interesting about this is from what we know about Scientology, and this could be alleged, but from what we know about Scientology, you are not allowed to really befriend other people that are not in Scientology. I don't know how legitimate that is, because if you work in the entertainment world, you have to befriend people that aren't in Scientology, because there's no way that everyone in your crew or everyone on your set or everyone in your cast is a Scientologist. So I guess I don't understand exactly why some people have to cut off ties when they're in Scientology with non-Scientology people, and why some people like Tom Cruise are allowed. Is it about the money that they have? Is it about the connections that they have? I find that all really interesting. Now, meanwhile, yes, suppressive persons are people that are not in Scientology. Yes. So Courtney says Scientology is obsessed with recruiting celebrities. So that's what I'm saying. Like, is Tom Cruise someone that would ever come over to like the random, you know, grip that doesn't have a lot of money, guy that works on his movies? Is he going to hang out with him? Maybe not, but he can hang out with David Beckham. It's all about the money and kind of showing that side. Now, meanwhile, we have a pretty crazy story that David Beckham is suing Mark Wahlberg and F45, which is the gym that I go to, which is a huge franchise. So it's not just my gym, but it's a huge franchise. And I believe Mark Wahlberg is like 25% of the owner, for $10 million over a business deal gone awry. And I can't help but think why this is all connected to Vanderpump Rules, because did you guys know that Brock, Sheena's husband Brock, the man with heels, he used to own an F45 in San Diego and sold it right around COVID. So it will be interesting to kind of see how this all turns out. Now, $10 million to Mark Wahlberg is chump change. I mean, it's probably a lot of money, but I just feel like that guy has so much money. It's psychotic. He has 47 businesses. But you know, those Richies, they could just sue for $10 million. I would like to sue someone for $10 million. Who can I sue? Bethany? I'm going to sue, I don't know. I'll let me think of it. Let me think. It will be good. It'll be someone good. Okay. So you guys, thank you so much for being here. Tomorrow, we're going to talk Vanderpump. We're going to talk The Valley. We're going to talk Brittany and Jax and all of that craziness. And thank you so much for 300 episodes. When I started this show over a year ago, I never, ever even imagined getting to 50 episodes, because when have you ever done a podcast that lasts 300 episodes? It's bananas. But not only to be at 300 episodes, but to be at 300 episodes and have an incredible community like I find I have with the Dosers, an amazing Facebook group that makes me laugh every day, DMs constantly with good scoop, and the ability to just like spend my days talking about Tori Spelling. How lucky can one be? I love you guys. I couldn't do it without you. Thank you so much for being here, and I'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye.